You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic.
I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Garasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 33 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate. Yesterday we covered the approach of the Red Army upon Stalingrad, getting ready to execute a pincer maneuver on the German army. But for now, the soldiers' orders are to hurry up and wait. And wait they do indeed, ahead of this massive conflict to come. Novikov's tank corps is just hanging around, and we spend some time learning some lessons from all of them. Like how Novikov is drinking a lot more these days, and Getmanov cheats on his wife, but still finds room in his heart to lecture other people for cheating on their wives, and so on and such forth. Is there anywhere in this appropriately party-minded chapter that you would like to begin?
Yes, there was one very interesting little tidbit that I kind of was paying attention to in this chapter, and it links in with this larger theme about Getmanov, which is how he always sort of appears to be sincere when he's talking, no matter who he's talking with. And there's a lot of description on how he does this and how when he's dealing with military matters, he will speak of these very material terms that sort of posits him as being on your side, like, you know, asking what the troops have had to eat. You know, like, are they adequately being fed? Are they being fed the same soup multiple days in a row? Is their commander eating better than them? And how much better? And all of this stuff. And he's appears sincere to the soldiers, but he's also, you know, in his heart, kind of a bureaucrat, in that his highest loyalty above all else is to the state and to the party. And he appears sincere to the party functionaries as well. And was just very interesting, the fact that there's any mention of sincerity on his part in wartime, when he admits in this chapter saying that this is the first time he had ever experienced an air raid, when we're years into the war, I think at this point, months for sure. It was just kind of a striking little detail, little tidbit to drop, I thought. Doesn't seem like your most relatable character, the one that has not experienced seemingly any combat here.
Right. Well, you know, it's because Getmanov has truly embraced the Hegelian dialectic, which Marxism is based on, in that he has true concern for the worker and true concern for the state. And in doing so, you find the synthesis of true party-mindedness.
Yes. Yes.
But yeah, he and what is it? It's his fellow commander's name escapes me at the moment. I should have had it in my notes. It was a particularly funny scene to see them inspecting a bomb that almost killed them, as if they were kind of children poking around at a toy that they found in the dirt. Yeah. And, you know, as you're talking, you're kind of, that's kind of echoed by one of our listeners, Dominique, who kind of said about this chapter, not going to lie, I'd be a little miffed if I got lectured about cheating on my wife by a guy who cheats on his wife, even if he is a man of the people. Dominique, kind of echoing what you've just said, also goes on to say, it's weird to think about, because I simply don't have the ability that Getmanov has to kind of hold these contradictory positions. But it's probably one of the best abilities to have when living in an authoritarian country. I think it's more impressive that people seem to like him, even if aware of his two personalities, or maybe they at least have respect him since he's in charge of them. I suspect that's more than a little bit of part of it. I suspect that's an accurate insight there into what partially drives Getmanov's ability to be sort of untouched.
I guess what I would say with him is that it's not that it's a perpetual state of liking Getmanov. I think that it's when he's interacting with a lot of these kind of ancillary people that they like him, and he's able to sort of court the favor of, like, he's really good at gaming who he needs to have like him at certain times. And so even if they don't like him all the time, or they're aware that he's playing some game, he's still able to sort of court that favor at precisely those correct times, which is a really frustrating thing when you're like, you know there's some other like party functionary who is not as good as his job, who's really frustrated by Getmanov, probably just stewing in the shadows over all of this.
Right.
He doesn't make it into the book, unfortunately, but I would like that spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're all people that Getmanov almost certainly has a good amount of dirt on from some ill-timed comments.
Yeah, it's kind of filmed. I think it would be, it would, if it was a TV show, it would be filmed sort of like a Degrassi. But in this case, it's about trying to rise to the top of the Central Committee.
Right.
Yeah. And the kind of gist of the show is that by the end of the episode, nothing has happened. Nothing has been accomplished.
Yeah.
And then the title track plays, music's playing them off. And it's Getty's waving to us.
Yeah, I think we've got a good concept for a show here. I think we should start working on some scripts here and working on who we could send it to.
This was like just a weird chapter because it wasn't anything in and of itself, but there's a couple things like what I had just noted, and then there's this brief discussion of Krimov and sort of what is he up to, and people are a little suspicious of him, and there's a few lines like this where there's some slight suspicion raised, and nothing necessarily happens, but there's a lot of storylines that are kind of threaded in this chapter that are all going to reoccur and reemerge.
For sure. And that's a great point on Krimov, who's not especially politically minded, realizing how Getmanov is preparing for more information, which I guess also another feature can lead to potentially months or years of conversation where you unknowingly let more and more go until finally they're in the position they need to do whatever they want, if they want to do anything with that, right? They might just be happy sitting on that knowledge, on that trap card.
Yeah, Getmanov, it feels to me like he's always in interrogation mode, but he's not in that. He's not in a structured interrogation mode. I think he's described by Novikov as zigzagging, as if he's doing it randomly, but he's not. And that is what is so scary and malicious about what he's doing, is that he's sure. almost forcing a confession from people that don't realize that's what's happening.
Yeah, I think that's, for me, that there's a little bit of interest. They should figure out at this point, you probably survived 1937, you should be a little more savvy. Yeah. There's some interest in we need some movement in Novikov's character for the worse for him. But I think you and Dominic both narrowed in on the what I took away from is the really interesting bits of this chapter.
Don't cheat on your wife is the moral of this story. Unless you have sufficient party standing.
That's a good.
In which case, apparently, I guess the lesson is brag to everybody about the fact that you're cheating on your wife.
Right.
In no subtle terms.
A tale as old as the Bolshevik Party.
Exactly. Everyone's like, I literally could not care less about this.
Right. But in that case, I think unless there's anything else you want to touch upon, maybe we should leave it there.
Yeah, that seems as good a spot as ever to me. So in that case, you will hear from us again soon.